Good morning. Let me begin by extending congratulations to all those who are fathers in the audience. We do have a lot of kids here. We've got a lot of fathers, and we're proud of everybody. And it certainly is a tremendously important job that one has to be a father or to be a mother. The wise sage once said, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And the fact of the matter is that generally speaking, when you do teach a child and train a child in the way that God would have him to go, generally, it is true that that child will then continue in that same path throughout his life. The reverse is also true. If a child is not brought up in the way that he should go, unfortunately, it is generally true that that child will continue in that aberrant path and not in the proper path that God would have us to walk in. And so that's the reason why it is such an important thing for us to be good parents. And it's an important responsibility that we take on, whether we are a father or whether we are a mother, or it may be in some cases that there is no father, and so a mother by herself has to raise the children, or maybe a grandmother or a grandfather, grandparent has to raise those children. Those kinds of things happen. But it is absolutely crucial that children be raised in accordance with the teaching of God's will, in accordance with the teaching of God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's this well-known passage, but one that I think is such an important one for us to think about. Moses here, as he is giving one of his speeches to the Israelites, this next generation of Israel, as they are about to cross over the Jordan and go into the promised land, Moses says this, speaking on behalf of God: "These words that I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In fact, when you look at the entirety of the book of Deuteronomy at Moses' speeches, and there are several of them recorded there, just over and over again, he talks about the importance of teaching your children. Teaching that next generation and the next, that they might know the word of God, that they might know the things that they should be doing. And this is just stressed all the time. And so I want to talk with you this morning about this whole subject of teaching our children. And I'm not just speaking to fathers, I'm speaking to mothers, I'm speaking to those who have as their responsibility rearing children. And that really applies to most of us in some way, shape, or form, or it certainly will apply to us. And so I want to ask this question this morning: how do you teach your children? I don't think any of us would doubt the fact that the Bible does demand that we who have children under our care are called upon to teach them. We understand that. But how do you do it? How do you teach your children? Do you make sure that they come to Bible classes at church? Well, yeah. I think that would certainly be something that we should do. Do you make sure that you have devotionals at home and Bible readings at home in some formal kind of way? Yeah, I think that's real good too. Do you give your children portions of the Bible to read maybe at home and compel them to read God's Word from time to time or on some regular basis? Yeah, I think that's a real good thing. And without trying to diminish any of those things I've just mentioned in any way, I want to say to you that's not even really what this passage is focusing our attention on. That's not really what it's getting at. This passage gives us some education about how we're to go about teaching our children the Word of God. And I would suggest that when you look at this carefully, what you see is that this passage says very explicitly, you shall teach these things diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. How do we teach our children the Word of God? May I suggest to you, first of all, we talk with them about God's Word. We talk with our kids about the Lord and about His Word. And isn't that really what this passage is getting at? It's saying that we should talk of these things when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. When you're at home, when you're away from home, well, that kind of covers all the territory, doesn't it? He says, when you lie down and when you rise up, at night, in the morning, just don't you really get the impression from what he's saying here that in order to teach your children what you need to be doing is to be talking with them about all these things, conversing with them about all these things, just all the time, just as a regular, just ordinary aspect of your daily life. Isn't that really the impression that you get from this passage? I do. And what I'm suggesting to you here from this passage is that the point is not that you talk at your children about God. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about conversing with your children. Isn't that the idea? Just as you go throughout the regular course of day, you're talking with your kids, you're conversing with your kids, and the subject of God and His Word is just something that is a common topic of conversation throughout the day, every day, at various points of the day. It's just something that is so integral to your life and to your conversations that you're talking about the things of God with your kids just all the time. Sometimes parents only talk about the things of God in some kind of formal occasion at home. Maybe it's when we're going to have a prayer for a meal, and that's when God is mentioned. Or maybe it's when you talk about, okay, have you said your prayers at night before you go to sleep? And so we mention God then. But this passage is talking about a regular, daily routine of life where parents would be interacting with their children, and a lot of things would be discussed, a lot of topics are discussed throughout the day when we lay down, when we rise up, when we're in our home, when we're outside of our home. But one of the main topics that needs to be discussed with our children and conversed about is God and His Word. And that's the main thrust you see about how parents teach their children. Not to minimize any of the more formal things that we might do to teach our children that are so crucial, Bible classes and formal Bible studies and those kinds of things. Sometimes we as parents fail in the most fundamental and integral aspect of training our children, and that's conversing with our children about the things of God. And again, I say it's not a matter of talking at them. Sometimes our conversations with our children really aren't conversations with them about the things of God. It's we're talking at them about what God says and this is what you have to do. And that's the only kind of occasion that we have for conversing with them. Where we're talking at them, and usually it's when we're getting on them. And it's almost like we're just kind of beating God and His Word into our kids' heads. That's not what this passage is talking about. I'm not suggesting there are occasions where you have to be hard with your kids. And sometimes kids are rebellious, and sometimes you have to have that kind of discipline. But what he's talking about here is you talk with your kids about these things of God and converse with them about Bible subjects and Bible things and the Lord and how He relates to us in our life. All those things. Is that what we're doing as parents? We need to make sure that we are. How do you teach your children? One thing this passage indicates to us, in addition to what we've already said, is we need to be sure that God's Word directs our life. You as parents, and I'm talking to myself here, need to be sure that God's Word directs your life. Because the kids are going to see whether or not that's the case. In fact, here in verse 6, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, "These words that I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Before he ever says, "You shall teach them to your children," the first thing he says is, "They shall be on your heart." And we have to make sure that the Word of God really is something that dwells deep within our heart, and we really believe this, and we're dedicated to this, and we're truly trying to serve the Lord. Now he goes on in the successive verses and says this in verse 8, beginning, "You shall bind them," these words of God, "you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." He's really emphasizing this whole idea of how we as parents, or whether or not we as parents, really are seeking to serve the Lord and really have God's Word dwelling in us the way that it should. And if we're going to teach our kids properly, they have to be able to see them. His language here is really interesting. "You shall bind these words as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead." It's interesting, throughout Jewish history, it has been very common for the words of this verse to be taken very literally and be treated very literally. You've heard of phylacteries. Jesus mentioned phylacteries. Well, here is a modern example of a phylactery, a little box that has a little tiny scripture inside it, and that's worn as a frontal on the head. And phylacteries are worn by Orthodox Jews today on their arms, on their hand, with a little box with a scripture, and there's the Word of God written there inside that phylactery box. And that's what Deuteronomy chapter 6, it said, that "these words I'm commanding you shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontals on your forehead." And so those words have historically been taken very literally by Jews, and they have literally done that as a way of reminding them of what this passage is teaching. And I don't think that's a bad thing. In fact, it was something that was done in Jesus' day. This is one of the artifacts that was found among the Dead Sea Scrolls in the years after 1947. That's a little phylactery from the time of Jesus, basically the time of Jesus, 1st century A.D. And that's a little leather pouch, and it's opened up. You can see here, it's just real small, about an inch in size. And let me show you this close-up of that. That's a little leather pouch, and it was folded over. Now, in this photograph, it's unfolded. But when it was folded over, it would have a leather cord that would allow you to wrap that around your head or to wrap that on your hand or your arm. And so this is a phylactery. It's the kind of thing that even is mentioned on occasions in the New Testament. Jesus makes reference to the phylacteries that were worn by the Jews. And if you look closely at this photograph here, you can see in those little pouches, the archaeologists discovered these little rolled up pieces of parchment, very tiny. And there were four of these intact. You can see them there on the left side of that, of the inside of this phylactery. And what those were, it was when they unrolled them, it was a little bit of parchment with an extremely small writing. I can't imagine writing that small, but there was various passages from the Old Testament scriptures. And so these are phylacteries, and these are how Jews have historically, from the time of Jesus and even before that, on even to the modern day, have looked at this passage and have taken the words literally as a way of reminding them of what this passage is ultimately saying. And I don't think that's a bad thing. And Jesus wasn't condemning the wearing of the phylacteries by the Jews. He did talk about the reason sometimes why they wore them, as just to show people how righteous they thought that they were. But the idea of reminding oneself about this and taking the words of this passage literally, well, that's not a bad thing. But the main thing we need to make sure that we do is to understand the point that the passage is making. Is that the words of God need to be as if they were on your hand. And what's the significance of that? I, as a parent, need to understand that, okay, I use my hands to do my work. And our hands represent activity. And we engage in various things. And so whatever I'm using my hands to engage in, the Word of God, it's as if it's written right there on my hand to remind me that everything that my hand finds to do needs to be something that is in accordance with the Word of God and His will. And he says, let these words of mine be as if they were phylacteries, frontals on your forehead. As if, okay, when somebody sees you, the Word of God is just right there on your forehead, just identifying who you are and who you live for and what you stand for and what principles you walk in accordance with. The Word of God, as if it was just affixed to your head, and that Word of God, that's what I think about. That's what I meditate on. That's what directs me. And here where Moses is talking to the Israelites and their responsibility to teach their children, he says what you need to do is to make sure that you who are going to be teaching, make sure you are having God's Word direct your life, and that your activities and your work and everything that you do is absolutely in accordance with these things that you are then supposed to be teaching your children. And I'll tell you what, folks. Our kids absolutely see everything that goes on in our life, and they know good and well when parents and grandparents or great-grandparents don't live up to the standards and principles that they verbalize with their mouth. When the conversations about the Word of God are about these various things, and yet the ones who are talking with their children about those things aren't living in accordance with those principles, those kids see that every time. You can't fool them. And that's what we need to understand if we're going to teach our children properly. We've got to converse with them about the things of God, but they've got to be able to see that we absolutely are dedicated to those things, and it's not a sham, it's not a facade. We're not one way when we're around Christian people at church, and then at home, it just flies. Our kids, they see through all that hypocrisy. And so we've got to make sure that God's Word is what directs our lives. How do you teach your children? Well, again, this passage says to us, we need to make sure that our home is really a place where God dwells. Make sure our home is a place where God dwells. In verse 9 of this verse, Moses says, you shall write these things on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These words I'm teaching you, you write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The entranceway into your home, that gate, that doorway that would enter into your home, make my commandments, write them on those. And again, historically, a lot of Jews have done and still take this passage literally, and you'll see little mezuzot is what they're called, but little rolled up scriptures that are affixed, usually in some kind of a wooden box, but affixed to the upper right side of a doorway of a Jewish home. And I'm not sure how far back that practice goes, if that really goes back even to the time of Jesus or not. I'm not sure about that. But Jews have taken that literally. But again, the whole point of this is that you make sure that your home is a home that is identified as a place where God lives, a place where God is respected, a place where God is served. And that's what our kids need to see. And that's the kind of home that they deserve to be brought up in. That they must be brought up in. Marvelous passage that we all know very well in Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua is speaking to the next generation of Israel as he, like Moses years before, was approaching the end of his life. And Joshua says in verse 15, "Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a great statement. What a great affirmation of what my house is going to be like. My house is going to be a house where the Lord is served. Where His words and His commandments, they're written on our gates and our doorposts, and people walking in our house, they understand this is a sanctuary of God. And Joshua says, I can't control what the rest of you decide. You've all got to decide how your homes are going to be. But Joshua, as the leader of his household, says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And that's what our kids need to understand. And by the way, that's not just something of, where Joshua was saying, well, you know, I'm going to have to allow my kids to make up their own mind, you know, as they live in my house. And if they want to serve the Lord here, they can or they might not. But I'm going to hopefully be an example to them, but I'll let them make up their own mind. No, he says, as for me and my house, what I'm in charge of, we're serving the Lord. And our kids, you know, this is the way this whole concept of parenting works. The main way that people learn how to be a parent is by how they were parented, how they were brought up, what their home life was like when they were kids. For the most part, that's going to be how they're going to create their own home when they become a parent. And sometimes it's just an unconscious thing. It's just, how many things do we do as parents that we haven't just consciously thought about this, but we just kind of realize, well, you know, that's how my parents did it, so I'm kind of doing it that way. And if we ever stop and think about it, we would recognize that's what's going on. And so what we need to understand is this whole concept of children being brought up in a household where that's God's dwelling place. And therefore, in this house where God is served, no, there's not all these kinds of immoral things that are allowed to come in this house. Can you imagine a sanctuary for God and then there being, you know, Yahweh, the one true God, and then there being all sorts of pagan idols and all sorts of pagan immorality going on in the sanctuary of Yahweh. Can you imagine that? Joshua says, that didn't happen in my home. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, ultimately, kids are going to leave that household and they will absolutely make their own decisions about how they're going to worship and whether they will worship and whether they're going to serve God and how they're going to live. But how kids are brought up and the kind of household that they are brought up in, that has a tremendous effect on the kind of household that they will create. It's just the nature of the case. And so we need to appreciate all that. And that's our responsibility as parents. That's the kind of household that our kids remember that they grew up in. And that's how things always were in Mom and Dad's house when I grew up. And then that, more likely, will be the kind of household that they will create. How do you teach your children? Let me give you this passage to think about. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3, Moses goes on to say, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. You see what Moses says here? Here are the reasons why we need to be serving the Lord. Here are the good, positive reasons why. Here are the benefits, that it may be well with you. That's why those commandments are given, that it may be well with us. And here are the promises of God, this land flowing with milk and honey. And so that's why we're doing all these things. May I suggest to you that when we teach our children, we need to make sure that we explain why we're following the Lord. Explain why. As parents, we don't like the why question that kids ask us. Why is this? Why is that? My dad used to get so mad at me. He used to call me the lawyer. Because I'd always, well, why? Why is that? Just always challenging everything, Just used to make him so frustrated. And that's, I'm a frustrating person. I understand that. But kids are always asking why, and so often the answer that we as parents in our frustration give is what? Because I said so. Now be quiet and leave me alone. Because I said so. And there are times when, the little minds just really can't fathom all the rationale and the reasons, and so sometimes maybe the accurate answer really is. It just, at this point, it's just because I said so. And you're just going to have to accept that little Johnny or little Janie, and that's just the way it is. But when it comes to serving the Lord and why we serve Him and why these commandments and these principles really are the right ones, because I said so, your parent, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Kids want to know why this is what we have to do. Why is this such an important thing? You see that all through the law of Moses. Where in Exodus, and he's talking about the Passover, and he says, when your children ask you, why is this night more special than any other night? You need to be able to answer. The whole premise of everything is that kids want to know why. And they do want to know why. And we need to tell them why. And it's not just because, well, we're a household of God and I said so. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. That's not what this passage says. This passage says, okay, here are the reasons for these commandments, that it may be well with you. Those principles and those rules and regulations that you're laying down for your kids, you need to explain to them as you talk with them throughout the day, as you converse with them, not talk at them, but talk with them about these things. Explain why these curfews or this kind of apparel or this kind of thing that we do, why that really is the best thing to do. And sometimes, yes, they won't really see that and understand, but you've given them a reason. And it hasn't just been, well, because I'm your parent and I said so, and quit trying to rebel. Sometimes kids ask why because they want to rebel. That's true. But kids with a good heart, when they ask why, it's usually because they don't really understand why. And they'd like to know. And it's our job as parents to help them understand why that's the thing God commanded. And, okay, what is it that we're looking for? Why are we trying to serve Him in this way? And how do we know all these things really are true? Those are good questions those kids are asking. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. But my point simply here is we need to explain why these things are the right thing and converse with our kids about that and help them see why that's the wise course of action, why this is the proper thing to do. And they're not always going to agree with you because they're kids. But you need to help them. And especially as they grow older, the older a kid grows, the better able he is to understand why these things are right and good and important. And the more he's asking himself that question, why? And therefore, the older they get, the more time and attention we need to spend in explaining and talking with them about why this is the proper and wise thing to do. And not allow things to digress sometimes, a lot of times, like in 5 seconds, into that kind of thing. And that's not a helpful scenario. That's not a helpful atmosphere. We need to talk with our kids. And that's what is so important about being a good parent. It's hard. It's hard. And it's frustrating. And it's why we go bald and we pull our hair out, you know. And then you begin to see your kids implementing from their own heart the things that you've been trying to talk with them about for years and years. And you finally begin to say, well, you know, this maybe hasn't been a lost cause after all. And you can begin to feel good about that. But this is what our task is. And when you get married, this is what you're signing up for. Potential for having kids. When you have kids, this is what you're doing. You know? And so this is what we need to think about. I have some more things to say about this, but I appreciate you listening to me this morning. I wonder if there's someone this morning who needs to respond to the gospel of Jesus in some way. We would love to help you do that, make your life right with God in any way that we can. And so if you need to do that, let that be known. While together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.